Hello, friends. This is the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today from the studios of KKNW here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States on 1150 AM. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a better place. Eric, I just wanted to tell you quickly, Regina just texted me and said we lost her, so you might want to try to get her back. During this hour, I'll be having a wonderful light worker named Regina Meredithon, and she's an anchor and show host with Gaim TV and has her own wonderful light work channel called ReginaMeredith.com. Anyway, we'll be getting her on in just a few minutes. I'll be going back to Mount Shasta twice this year, from July 1st to the 8th, and again from August 27th to September 3rd, 2020. We always see lots of Sasquatch and many UFOs flying around the mountain, and we always also meet Adama and people of Telos and the Hollow Earth, and also experience many miracle healings. My eyesight was actually restored to perfectly clear 2010 eyesight in September of last year after Adama and the people of Telos gave me a miracle healing. Others have been healed of Lyme disease, Lou Gehrig's disease, and one lady in September of 2017 was given a new pair of legs. And I saw that actually, that miracle happen. She'd been crippled for many years, and the people of Telos replaced her legs with a new set of legs. Anyway, the cost is just $200. And if you'd like to go, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And I guarantee you it'll be an out of this world trip. And now I'd like to introduce my friend, Regina. Regina, are you there?
I am.
Okay, good. We lost you there.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Good.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, you've had a really interesting background for people who don't know you. You've been serving as an anchor since 2012 with Gaim TV in their new media division on Open Hinds and Healing. And you also have your own live stream website called www.reginameredith.com on alternative health products and well-being. And I couldn't think of a better time to talk about health and well-being now with everything that's been going on. How did you get interested in this area and light work and health topics?
Oh, that started really in my 20s, a long time ago. And It started out by having some paranormal type experiences. And for anyone who has those, which is probably most people listening to this, it starts you on a path of inquiry that never stops. So that's been decades, a decades long search for basically the reality, the matrix of reality, which is a tough one because it's so interwoven with mind. So that takes you on in kind of an endless journey, I think. And it certainly has a lot to do with where we are today collectively. So I started doing alternative media years ago, starting with environment and vegetarian cuisine back in the 90s and early 2000s, and then moved on mid-2005 to founding Conscious Media Network, which is we began streaming interviews with a lot of the people that you interview, with a genre of information that wasn't being covered at that time in video streaming, at least not that I know of, I know of in the English speaking world, but a lot of stuff popped up right after we started. So that was really an attempt because I had the skills as a journalist and news anchor to take challenging information and present it in a way that people could feel safe looking at it, even though it was kind of frightening information sometimes, and I had also was out in the field doing UFO work and everything else, so it was it was kind of a melee of new information flowing through.
Wow, amazing. You interviewed a gentleman named Carl Johan Kalimann recently, and and when we spoke a couple days ago, you told me about him, so I looked him up. What a fascinating fellow. He talks about history going in cycles. And I wanted to tell you, thank you so much for telling me about him, Regina. He'll be coming on my show a week from today, actually.
Okay, good. Excellent. Yeah, he's good. What happened is he had poked through on my Facebook page and alerted me to an article he had written. And I thought, oh, my God, I haven't interviewed him for a few years now. So took a peek at it and thought, this is brilliant. This is really, I think, critical information for us to understand at this point in time. So I invited him on ReginaMaris.com. We had a wonderful conversation, which you saw part of, I would guess. And then
I told
Gaia to invite him on. So he's coming to Gaia also in, I think, a month to be interviewed again. We're going to continue that conversation on Gaia in June. And now he's on your show. So I think he's getting a lot of press right now because he's adding something very rational and higher in thought to the situation going on right now. Because we can literally look at it from any level, any dimension you want, right? And ultimately, if we can't find our way to a higher place, we're going to have trouble.
Right, exactly. Well, I have to ask you, one of the things you talked about with this interview was absolutely fascinating about how history goes in cycles. And this goes back to the virus, too, where it's all cyclical. In other words, I think it is going in cycles, certainly. What do you think is happening now? I guess this leads me to my next question, Regina. What do you think's happening now with the virus, and do you think this will be over soon?
Okay, well, that's a big fat question, Ted.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
It's fine. I've been doing a lot of shows on it and a lot of research.
Okay.
It has a multi-layered, I think, multi-dimensional answer to it as well. First of all, when this first happened, first started, we didn't know what was going to come of it. I thought, just sort of smelled some major change happening. So I thought I better check in and do a meditation. And every now and then I'll do that where I simply ask my guides, you know, what's going on? Show me what's going on. The first words that were said, and again, I'm going to modify all this in a minute, but the first words that were said, this was created to benefit the few over the many. And the end objective is that it would create so much fear that people would be willingly lining up for vaccinations, which they normally do not have in mass. And that this is where the problem begins, is with the vaccinations, because they would be shoddy and dirty. And flu vaccines, I can give you some history on that as well if you like, generally tend not to make a person's immune system any more adept at handling the next season flu. Oftentimes it leaves us more vulnerable under the best of circumstances, and this virus is not the best of circumstances because of the nature of it. I call it a Franken flu. So
right.
Yeah. So there are several subjects kind of embedded within that. And then the meditation went on, the energy rose way up and became excited, which is very unusual because normally when I do these kind, it's a kind of just a flat informational vision of something or exchange of information. And this time it was adamant, do not take these vaccines. This is going to make the public weaker. And then the people who stand to profit will profit hugely because then they can have the patents on all of the drugs that they'll need to create to deal with the symptoms and chronic illness created by vaccines. So now I'm just sharing that as an intuitive glimpse at the beginning before we really had any deaths here. And so that's where I'm going to start from, which was in an intuitive realm. And I thought, this whole notion about the few over the many and what we've all dealt with so many times in our thoughts and explorations, especially in the area of conspiracy theory, which is, who are they?
Right.
And we've read everything from the Anastasia series of books to Who They Are, to David Icke's version of Who They Are, to everyone else's in between. And I have to share something with you. I brought my computer in with me so I could share this with you. This is so interesting. There's a show, again, predictive programming and, you know, art imitating life or the other way around, called Deep State on a new network called Epix. And they have this in this show. There's a man named Walton Goggins who plays one of the Deep State people. It's very complex and actually very revealing about how our governments operate with these private military industrial contractors to create wars. So they, you know, they trigger both sides so they can get the contracts for decades into the future. So at one point in this, someone was saying, well, it's the deep state that did it. And this was his response, and I'm just sharing it. I don't know it. I don't know the answer myself, right?
Sure.
It says, quote, he said, there is no deep state. Just a bunch of old white guys clinging to power, doing everything they can to protect their interests before they become extinct.
That's funny. But that's probably true, close to the truth.
And when he said that, I thought, hold on, rewind this and write this down, because I feel the truth in it. I think when you talk about conspiracy theory in terms of having a global elite that's well-coordinated, they're all on the same page, they all want the same outcome, I don't really grok a lot of truth out of that. I get that there are regional interests that have self-interest at heart and will throw anyone under the bus to make sure their own ends are met. And so that would look a little closer to what this guy was saying in the show Deep State. And so here you have all these conflicting interests going on, and one you might say that might be a little more cohesive than some is certainly the pharmaceutical industry. In that, get you know, that whole notion of what can happen if you put incomplete or dirty vaccines out, of course, can do a tremendous amount of harm if we have a huge percentage of the population taking the vaccine.
Sure.
Did you
sure.
by chance see the interview with RFK Jr. on this subject?
No, I didn't. Please share
it's
it.
It's a very important one for everybody to see, in my opinion, because he's
I'll look it up.
He's an attorney. He's very, very well versed on the topic of
vaccines. Yes, I did see that interview. I thought
Robert
you were
Kennedy
referring
Jr.
to RFK,
yeah.
RFK JFK Jr.
Yeah.
for some reason. Yeah, I did see the
RFK.
I did see
yeah.
the interview. Yeah, RFK. Yeah. I did see it. Yeah.
And so you saw how sane he is about this, and sane in his warnings, and sane in the subject in general. About if you're going to somewhere into the jungle where cholera is an issue, okay, do a cholera vaccine, save yourself that trouble, but you don't do these garbage bucket early to market flu vaccines. That's a whole other story.
Right. And well, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Please.
Yeah, it's a tremendous money making opportunity, I think, by some companies, because right now they're unregulated. Thanks to the Vaccine Act of 1986 or 89, they don't have to have any safeguards. And they're not really regulated by anybody. And even when people get damaged from vaccines, they have to sue in a specialized court, this vaccination court. And all the proceedings of this court are completely secret, so people don't know about them.
Exactly.
And the consumers pay, according to Robert F. Kennedy, the consumers pay 75 cents on every prescription or vaccine. They're actually paying for that court, because they collect this revenue off of each vaccine, each shot, and that goes to the court to pay for the damages. So it's
It's not weighted toward the consumer.
No, it's not.
We have a problem there. And then yesterday there was online media was all a Twitter, because Trump went on CBS News, in the interview, he said that he was positioning it so the military could be called in to make sure that Americans got their vaccines and we'd have one by the end of the year. Well, we know that's a problem, because people in the epidemiology industry have all said you cannot do a flu vaccine successfully. It takes anywhere from 18 months to a number of years to create a proper vaccine. And so getting one by the end of the year with this odd signature that, of course, many feel came from a laboratory, you know, it's not natural, it's highly unlikely there's going to be an effective vaccine for that. I mean, we're better off just to keep our immune system nice and strong. And so when he said that, a lot of people were very disturbed. Bringing in the military to help administer vaccines en masse is not a comforting thought to any of us. And I'm hoping it was just some kind of campaign talk. I don't know why he would, because I think most of Trump's followers are anti-vaxxers. So I don't know who he was appealing to but it made everybody quite nervous to hear of military involvement in administering vaccines and making sure they get to all of the people. So I don't necessarily take that to the bank, but I think we have to take it seriously enough to think about what will we do if we do face that situation? Now, you know, most right. people will probably be fine with it, but there are people who are going to become more ill. There's a lot of information on vaccines. In fact, about that, I'm going to be doing another show, a live show on Monday night, just on that topic with massive amounts of just data. So yeah. it's something we have to think about. I don't think we need to freak out about it. It may never come to pass in any kind of way that's mandatory, but it's something to kind of put under our hat and think about, how do we best deal with this psychologically, societally, and even physically?
Well, there is a very troubling YouTube video done by Bill Gates that came out last month, and he said that there were 10 million what he called excess people here on Earth.
Oh,
and
yeah.
one of the best ways to get rid of these so-called excess people was to have a vaccination program for all of
that's
us.
That's correct.
So we
and
could cull the population.
I saw that first day. Yep.
Yeah, I saw that, and it wasn't photoshopped.
Well
it was him.
For...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so people see that. And then there are others pushing for the vaccinations. I think we can all agree in a positive way that we want better health for everybody. That's not the issue.
No.
You know, but and we want to have good health for our children and ourselves. The issue is, how do you achieve that? Do you achieve it through a healthy immune system, or do you achieve it through a vaccination program that's could be flawed and could give you other problems if you take it?
Well, I'll vote for boosting our own immune systems.
Right.
Clearly.
Right.
I think we're on
right.
the same page
right.
there.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And so
absolutely.
We can all take personal responsibility for that. And, you know, one right. thing we saw with the way this virus, Frankenflu, whatever you want to call it, moved around, was mm-hmm. that it did seem to impact people who were in more fragile physical conditions. That much we
That's
did
true.
See.
Yeah, right.
So one right. would assume if you're having vaccines, that they mm-hmm. might affect a person in the same way. And if you look at, and also affect people who've had a lot of previous vaccines, as mm-hmm. Judy Mikovits's work showed. Mm-hmm. You don't want to have retroviruses in your body and then get a flu shot activating those things. It can create massive internal inflammation and, you know, by
right.
extension of that problem. So,
right.
you know,
right.
and a lot of people have freaked out about this also, thinking about it in terms of EMFs and 5G and so forth, which is a whole other overlay to it. And
right.
I'm in the process of reading the book, The Invisible Rainbow. Have you read that by any chance, Ted?
No, but it sounds like a good book. Who's the author?
Oh, gosh. I should know his name off this. I'm reading the book. I don't have it in front
That's
of me.
Okay.
Kirstenberg, I believe.
That's okay.
This book is making the rounds because it's talking about the introduction of electricity in modern times to the planet and the effect it had on pandemics, what were thought to be influenza epidemics and so forth. And the reason I bring it up is because a lot of people keep reflecting back to the Spanish flu back in the 1918,
right.
you know, pandemic. And
right.
they're stating that maybe a similar thing is happening now. But as I'm reading this book, you know, I'm open looking at all different possibilities here. One thing I'm seeing is that the symptoms in that epidemic, which was massive, it affected roughly a third of the world's population. Not they didn't all die, but were touched by it, became ill by it with it.
Sure.
And
sure.
this was in times of a massive electrification that was happening with radio signals, massive radio signal towers going up around the globe. And that's when this suddenly kind of just sprang up all over the same place without even seeming to be transmitted. But the
sure.
signatures of that were very, very different than what people are experiencing now. So I'm only mm-hmm. saying that to suggest I don't think we need to. I am not a proponent of 5G, quite the opposite. I would love to see all
right.
those towers gone. And I think it does no service to our cellular health at all. But to fear that all of us are being poisoned by electricity at this time, we probably are to a certain extent, at least being put a bit on balance, it's not the same as what they experienced in 1918. The range of symptoms is completely different. I mean, just as one example, you have blood clotting and coagulation occurring in this one and some of the victims, you know, and inflammation of their internal organs. The elderly seem to be more at risk. Here it was healthy young people between their 20s and 40s that were getting sick, and they were having blood thinning. So they were having a problem bleeding out. So it was literally an opposite group of people, an opposite set of effects. So I don't think we have to conflate those two scenarios and worry about that.
Right. Well, I think what you hit on earlier about having a healthy immune system is key to almost anything, really. And your mind also has an effect too. And one thing I don't like about mainstream media, this doesn't apply to you, of course, but they focus in on so much fear factors bringing everybody down with bad news, that can affect your immune system and make people sicker too, which is really important.
Absolutely. Well, that's why I originally quit that industry. I hated it. I hated serving up bad news for people before they went to bed at night when I was a news anchor. Because it was deliberately tilted toward that, because negative news has a visceral chemical response. Keeping people in fear is highly addictive. Certainly programmers know this. Movie makers know this. You'll keep people coming back for more if you can kind of trigger those particular brain chemicals. So I'm not a fan of any of that, not at all. And fear is essential to keep your numbers up. And that's why the saying always was, which I know you've all heard of in the news days, was if it bleeds, it leads, right? There's a reason for that.
Interesting. In 2014, I had done saltwater studies off the coast of Washington. There were reports that a huge radioactive plume of water was coming from Fukushima that was going to hit the West Coast from Washington down to California and even up to British Columbia. And our governor here wasn't, Governor Inslee wasn't doing, he'd shut down all the testing laboratories, so there wasn't any testing done of the radiation from Fukushima. So I collected water samples, sent them off to a lab. I sent them off to a lab and got the results back, and all the radiation had gone. That radiation, which was forecast to hit, was gone. And then my galactic friends said that they had cleaned it up because they didn't want us to commit suicide with radiation from Fukushima. And even Governor Brown, to his credit, on June 1st, 2014, issued a press release from his office saying that this was good news, that the radiation is somewhere gone. He didn't know how, but it was gone off the California coast. And what was interesting is I went to a major television station. I went to the newsroom in Seattle, and I said, this is great news. Here's my scientific reports. I just got back from the scientific lab. All the radiation is gone from Fukushima off the coast. Here are my reports. They when I first called the newsroom, they said, oh, let's do a story on it. So we broke down. And when the reporters found out that it was good news instead of bad news, they refused to run the story on the TV.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that
and
bad?
I said,
because look how much fear would have been alleviated.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And even Governor Brown's story, and I credit him for doing that back in June 1st, or early June of 2014, even his story, I'm told, was only aired within the borders of California, not outside of California, none of the major news work, but only within within California. And the laboratory that did the radiation testing for me was none other than the California State Lab did that. And it was authorized through Governor Brown's office, because my governor up here, Inslee, wouldn't authorize it. He shut down all the testing labs. But down in California, Governor Brown said, "Well, we'll do it for you. You're a nonprofit, and we can see you're trying to make the world a better place. So we'll just do it for free. Send all the samples down as we'll just test for free."
Well, that's magnificent that you were able to get that done.
Yeah, and I've still got the tests, and they're published in my book called "Messages from the Masters," and I had another laboratory in Wisconsin do the same testing, so I've got two independent reports on it. So they all came back negative, and the radiation hasn't come back. And the message I got from the Galactics was that they weren't going to let us commit suicide, basically, through this radiation. So I was really happy for that, and they've been helping since. Now they haven't cleaned up Fukushima completely, because they said that if they did clean it up completely, then we wouldn't learn the lesson of not using radiation, because nuclear energy is allowed on this planet, but every other human civilization outside of this planet, in advanced civilizations, Regina, is banned. It's illegal because it's so mm-hmm. destructive. Banned it. There's other technologies and other ways to get energy, and it's very, very destructive. I hope we can get to that point where we also ban nuclear weapons. I know there's been a lot of people protesting over the years, so we don't have to face that threat to humanity.
I agree 100%. And, you know, that is really when a lot of the ET sightings started showing up, was after we started playing with nuclear energy and at the end of mm-hmm. World War II. And when mm-hmm. we first started experimenting with them, right? At mm-hmm. the Trinity site and so forth. And that's really where the whole conspiracy community was really given birth, as a result of the cover-up and of the presence of extraterrestrials and UFOs in relationship to our shooting off of nuclear warheads and such, and testing of nuclear warheads. And I remember about 30-some years ago when I was talking with my beings, and they said, I was talking about a sighting that was taking place at a particular place. And they said, well, it's very common. You'll most often find sightings of these other beings, these other people, around military bases, because they're keeping an eye on what's going on, particularly if there's any kind of nuclear implication, and that this won't be allowed. And there's one very famous bit of archival film footage of the U.S. shooting a rocket which had a nuclear warhead on it toward the moon, and then boom, in came an UFO, and this was projected to be traveling at 14,000 miles an hour. It went around each side of it, boom, 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 and disabled the warhead. And this will not be tolerated to send our garbage out into space. It's not even being well tolerated for us to have that garbage on our own planet. I think you're right. We're being very, very closely watched, and hopefully with some care. I'm not big about being saved by other species, but at the same time, I know they're here, and I know there are benevolent ones that do help us along where we've had major gaps or just periods of sheer idiocy.
Right, 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 right. Well, we have to. I've read the books of Albert Einstein, and he said that there's a famous quote from Professor Einstein saying that, you know, the advent of nuclear technology exchanged everything except man's spirit, our spirituality, and so our spirituality and love and compassion for other people has to catch up to our technology, or else we're just going to destroy ourselves.
Yes, well, that kind of gets you back to Carl Kellerman's work,
right,
and what
right.
he was stating on my show, which was, and I think it's important for people to just be aware of this, and that is, as it is with the Hermetic teachings, as it is with the Vedas, it also is with the Mayan calendar and even Vedic astrology and Western astrology. At the moment, we're in a downward trajectory on a cycle of consciousness, at least in one dimension, the primary one that we're living in here, right? By and large,
right.
it's a downward
right.
trajectory. And in mm-hmm. downward trajectories, one of the things that happens, which I found fascinating, which is really what inspired me to do the show, mm-hmm. is that people are sensing that they're not being given the truth. And they're not, because you have all
right.
kinds of selfish agendas going on simultaneously. And so mm-hmm. you're left to speculation. So mm-hmm. fear, mistrust, suspicion comes in, and then on the tail of all of that becomes conspiracy theory or conspiracy thinking. and which mm-hmm. is a, kind of a natural outcropping of suspicion that you're being lied to, right? But
right.
it was interesting in that what he stated was that if the conspiracy thinking becomes collective in nature, that's when you begin to topple a government or a civilization. The mm-hmm. fear, the suspicion becomes so great mm-hmm. that you're going to topple the institutions and the backbone of whatever place and government and region you are in at that period in history. So I think it's really important for us to, I think it's really important for us to start using our heads and intuition like you do, Ted, using our heads.
Well, thanks.
The knowledge that we can find and our intuition combined together to sort of look at rationally what might be going on. And that's the zone I'm trying to stay in. Now, I've had a little bit of kind of back and forth stuff on Facebook today because I made this post mm-hmm. of a statement by someone I interviewed named Jack Barsky. Mm-hmm. He's a former KGB spy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who essentially okay. defected. He was busted, but he defected years and years ago as he had already been severely heartbroken and disappointed by the KGB agenda. He was an embedded spy in the U.S. It's a fascinating story of someone who was tapped because he had a brilliant mind, brilliant at every subject and so forth, and had mm-hmm. kind of a personality that likes to take risks anyway. So they tapped him, and he was groomed to become a spy at a top level in the U.S. and meanwhile embedded in some ordinary jobs in the tech industry. But I very much had respect for where his heart ended up and how he started using his mind once he was done with that business.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is to the subject of conspiracy and this kind of thinking that it's going all over the place right now, leaving everyone feeling confused and not knowing who to believe. And so I wrote to him privately, and I said, you know, what's going on in your opinion? Because we know that online sites, especially some very well-known conspiracy sites, have been infiltrated. I felt they've been infiltrated from the beginning. They weren't infiltrated. They were set up that way.
So sure.
I just said, what is your opinion on this? And he said, let me quote this. This is what he wrote. With regard mm-hmm. to disinformation, rumors, falsehood, lies, with the advent of the internet, we lost the battle for the truth. The horse is out of the barn, and you will not be able to get it back in. The sites you mention allow smart, irresponsible mischief makers to do what they do best. The result is a bizarre fantasy world, which is a hybrid of Harry Potter, Star Wars, Minecraft, Godzilla, etc. These are bright people who are kept prisoners in a virtual reality. As mm-hmm. this reality encroaches on the real world, it has the potential of creating phenomenal damage. Now, I went back and looked that up because after talking with Carl Kalaman and this whole notion of how thinking becomes unhinged from truth at times of descending mm-hmm. consciousness, all mm-hmm. of a sudden that comment he made so much more sense. Now, mm-hmm. I hadn't talked to him for a few months, so I've asked him to please analyze the current situation and give me his mm-hmm. opinion, you know, because he's learned to think a little differently and look behind the veil of everything as a matter of kind of life and death. That's just part
sure.
of, was part of his life. He was trained to do it. And he has no allegiance to the KGB and the Soviet Union, which is, you know, that's a good thing. So
yeah.
I'll see what he has to say about it. But I thought, what a profound statement considering what Carl Kalaman said. Now, I also about maybe 4 to 6 months ago interviewed Simon Chikoisky, who is a Vedic astrologer. And mm-hmm. he said, we're in this cycle from 2015 to 2033, an 18-year cycle that is called, mm-hmm. in his parlance, the cycle of the outsider, meaning it's to tear the house down, basically. We're in a cycle that is going to change. It's going to change everything. It's the energy is best utilized going through very deep soul searching and radical change. And he said the darkest and most chaotic year within that cycle is the year 2020.
Really?
And the darkest month within that year is December.
now, of 2020.
He told me this long before. This was months before this whole COVID thing. So it must have been about 6 months ago.
Uh-huh.
So.
Wow.
I Amazing. Had also just done an interview with Robert Phoenix. He is a Western astrologer. And the name of the title of the show was called Winter is Coming. Winter is Coming, you know, Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
And because he was saying, I don't think there's any nice way around this. We're going into a really critical phase, and there's going to be a deep impact on the economy. This was all before COVID, right? So there was something in the stars that was going to create something that was going to give us something to react to and to choose where we want to place our energy, where we want to place our perception of the future and what we want to change. And so this was said long before any of this happened.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Amazing. That's amazing.
It is. And in Carl Kalman's and with Simon and with Robert, the reality is there are cycles within cycles. This is giving us a great opportunity to choose something so much more whole, so much more satisfying as human beings, so much more satisfying way to live than just, you know, overt. Random and perpetual consumerism. That's not working too well for us, obviously.
No.
And now it's been kind of ground to a halt. And so there are beautiful opportunities within it.
Well, maybe the lesson of all of this then is to become, you know, turn inward for meditation, but also treat each other with compassion and love, your family, your neighbors, people you meet, and focus in on you know, non-material spiritual values instead. I know that sounds a little airy-fairy, but I think that's maybe the lesson of this whole thing.
Yeah, you're right on. I couldn't agree with you more. That's exactly what I think it's about, is going from a materialistic consumer-based society to more of an experience-based society. I mean, since this COVID thing started, I live in the Sierra foothills of California, and California is much looser than it sounds like Washington was. In that all these things were suggested. You don't get tickets if you don't have a mask on. But in the Bay Area, for example, they live very closely packed together in San Francisco, you know, for example.
Right.
So people are honoring it. They're doing their social distancing and wearing their masks and kind of going out when they need to. But rationally, we're out in the country about 100 miles from there. It's a very different reality. There's very little illness. Yeah. Here. And so our stores are all the malls are closed. The stores are closed. Now they're opening back up in my county. But until this last week, everything was pretty much closed except for takeout food, which is pretty much the standard everywhere. But in our daily life, we're out bicycling to the little coffee shop that was still open in the morning for your to-go drinks in the grocery store. And you go in line, you know, wait in line at Trader Joe's, do what you had to do, go to Whole Foods. I went out virtually every day. I never stayed home. I put my little mask on, you know, trying to do the right thing, right? And I just continued my life. And now we took time to plant our garden during that time. I still love our morning bicycle rituals to go out and get a cup of almond milk chai. And we've just harvested our first zucchinis already. Literally, already started harvesting in mid-May.
Great.
Early crop. And, you know, I have a couple friends who, when they're in densely packed areas, they put their little masks on and then they take them off and they come up and spend the night with us. So we have groups and we share in our trip. If someone has to go to the store, for example, we'll pitch in and say, hey, you need anything? So we've kind of become more communal throughout all this. And The whole element of people reaching out to their families via Skype and Zoom, people that they really don't spend that much time talking with, has been kind of a beautiful point of connection around the globe.
Mm-hmm.
I think Zoom's stock took off or something because so many people were using them to connect with one another instead of sitting in a cafe with a family all looking at their cell phones together.
Well, that's true. And, you know, I hate to say it, but maybe we needed this to wake up and become more spiritual. I mean, nothing is ever totally bad. There's always a silver lining in things that happen
I view it the same way you do, Tess. I mean, think about it. We've all been knowing a big change was coming. We've all been knowing that the economy was ready to tip anyway. the indicators economically have been there for a couple of years, with economists saying, biting their fingernails, like, oh, God, when's the air coming out of this bubble? This thing's going to crash. It's all been sitting on the precipice. Big department stores have been sitting on the edge of bankruptcy and closures for years now.
So
it wasn't like this caused it all. It was already ready to topple.
Right.
And so my thought on it, I mean, the part I feel sad about is the wonderful people that have put together their dreams, their little businesses in town. I'm hoping most of them can reopen. I know some won't be able to. And to see that kind of energy, money, and dream go down the tubes really is, to me, very, very sad. That's human, something someone cared about. Well, the big guys all got bailed out, every one of them. All the first trillions all went to the big guys, leaving the little guy to hang themselves. You know, I don't appreciate that. I think it was very, very poorly done. That said, we could have been hit by a meteorite to get us to change, I guess, right?
I mean, yeah, that's true.
Where's the Nibiru crowd? Maybe this took the place of Nibiru.
That's true. That's true. Well, my guides are telling me that this ascension process has actually speeded up by this by this virus.
I think so.
And it hasn't gone the way that the cabal wanted us to go, which is good. And I think it'll be over sooner than people realize, myself. I really do.
I mean, and when it does, we should be hopefully a tad more patient. And as you said earlier, which was so perfect, a little more compassionate with ourselves and each other, especially considering we're all in this crazy making time together. We all want pretty much the same thing, but we're all buying in different paths to get there, which is making people angry and hating on each other, which is a shame, because mostly we want a sane and rational and decent, sustainable life for ourselves, you know. And you can go through the conspiracy door, you can go through the angel door, you can go any door you want in terms of your beliefs, but in the end, we almost all want the same thing. You know, a life that has some dignity, love, respect, all of these things. The rest is just mental, you know. And you, like you said, to have compassion for ourselves and each other while we're at odds with each other, all trying to grapple to put some sense to it in a world that doesn't make sense right now is really important.
Sure. Well, let's have some fun right now and think about what the world's going to be like in 5 years. What do you see happen? What do you see? Let's say it's 5 years from now. We're talking. We're doing the show today. What do you see the Earth as being in 5 years?
Well, and I can't say that I'm doing it intuitively, because this is thought has been and feeling has been with me so long. Who knows now whether it's just part of my own self-programming? But for many years, I've seen a time coming, not knowing what would inspire it, where this would happen, where we have enough of a topple in the economy, a significant enough topple in the economy, that, as you talked about a moment ago, it would really get us to reevaluate the things that matter to us. And community, I think, is going to become much bigger. Be relying on one another at a local level, locally sourced foods, locally sourced services and products in general. Excuse me, I have to cough a little bit.
That's okay.
And so I think coming together as community is going to be one of the most beautiful things, which will create more of a sense of regional governance, regional life, answering to the needs of our particular region, because each one of us is very different. I mean, people in the Northeast have very little in common, say, with someone in the South or even where I am. We all have different needs. We all have different desires and definitions of what community is and needs to be. So I think that going to community and local is going to be a fabulous enhancement for our lives. I think people are going to become and already have become more creative during this period. Things like music lessons, sewing, all these things have started popping up where people want to do something that they can control, put their hands on and find satisfaction from. So creativity, I think, is going to be much higher. And I think the notion of extended multi-generational family living will come into play, initially out of necessity, because there are people who will have to move on from their abode and probably have to call on their kids or their parents and see about kind of bunking in together and making these long-term arrangements, in fact. And I think that's a good thing. Having multi-generations of little kids with their grandparents in the home, I think it's really beautiful to have a deepened sense of life and culture.
That's actually what it used to be like, I think, when families are more coherent and not as atomized as they are now. And and Nostradamus has told me many times that government in the future is going to become a lot smaller, and you won't have the big government that we have today. There'll still be a government, but because as people advance spiritually, they'll know how to treat each other with love and compassion, and you won't need a heavy police state arresting people for going out and not maintaining social distancing or this other nonsense. That they'll be able to, they'll know how to take care of themselves. If they're sick, they'll just stay home. You won't need to have a police state enforcing it. There will be a government, but it'll be smaller and it'll interact. It'll regulate. It'll govern activities between humanity on this planet and extraterrestrial civilizations off planet. That's how he said it would happen.
Yeah, I would see that as true, because as we raise ourselves in. Again, I think this is going to be regional. I think there are going to be pockets of people which will really pull together, see the beauty in community, creativity, planting your own food, helping each other out. That lift in consciousness, I think, is going to bring a lot of what you're talking about to pass. But I think there will probably be other regions of the world where maybe people aren't catching on as quickly, and it goes into more dire straits for a while before that process happens. I think there's going to be more of a polarity, so to speak, of the outcomes, depending on where in the world you're living and what consciousness is like and what has to be healed and how close you are collectively to healing it.
Preparing for the rest of the year, I want to ask, I want to keep the show positive, Regina, but did your two astrology friends say that what might be happening this fall? They said that December would be this would be the darkest year and the end of the year would be the darkest month, December. Did they say what might be happening by then?
No, because no one saw that this was coming. And so we know one thing is happening in the U.S. Now, this was looking at the U.S.'s chart specifically, by the way. Carl Kalman's work was looking globally, the large cycles of consciousness globally. So they didn't see this coming. So certainly one area was you got the election coming up and a lot of chaos around that in the U.S. But what Simon said was he felt there would be a type of celebration come January after this dark phase or event or whatever was passed. So that was the most he could say, that neither one of them could really hone in on what it was that was going to stimulate this whole thing. They didn't know. I don't think anyone knew. And I think, you know, I think there's going to be, for me, I think there's going to be a lot to be grateful for, just in having ourselves kind of shaken up a little bit. And like I said, taking responsibility to choose how do we want to go forward with this? Because the truth is, when it comes to what happens with the economy and so forth, that power is in our hands. The stock market's doing its own thing. It's off there in la-la land in its own little enclosed loop, which is, you know, 10% of the people and mostly algorithm-driven. The economy is in our hands, and we choose what opens up, what we want to buy into, what kind of lovely new businesses we're going to support into the future. So I actually think we have a lot of power as just ordinary individuals and even as consumers as to how our world is going to take shape. We don't have to buy anything we don't think is going to serve us. So I see it as a good thing. And so as far as January goes, neither one of them had a sense of what it was. But Simon said he felt a sense of celebration that this period had passed and something new had been given birth to.
About 3-4 weeks ago, I meditated quite a bit with Jill Tower, a really good psychic from Montana. And we got all these messages from the great spirits about the future. And they all said that we are at the start of a beautiful new time in human history. And don't listen to the negativity. We've got good things ahead of us. So keep your eye on the ball kind of thing and don't get sidetracked into you know, what the media tells you because they have their own agenda. Much of the media is still controlled, not you, but and me, but much of the media is controlled. So just keep a positive attitude, and because your consciousness does create your reality. And as long as you keep that in mind, we have a beautiful future ahead of us. I know we do.
I agree.
And things will get better. Yeah. I know they will get better. So
I think more than ever, you know, we now know that we need each other, and we have to treat each other with some compassion and kindness. And so if we follow that route, and if we start employing our creativity, if we start deciding where we're going to put the dollars that we have, we're going to create a better, I think, a much more sustainable and more enjoyable future. So I agree with that. I think we're headed to good things.
Right, absolutely. And the success, for example, of your shows and Gaiam TV in raising consciousness, my show, my programming, and everybody is working together now to create a much better planet. And I can only see good things ahead of us. I mean, sure, we're going to have challenges. I mean, I had no idea this virus would come up the way it is, but we're getting through it. I've been told the cases now are decreasing, and I'm looking forward to it to be largely gone by next month. I think the only problem we're going to have is some governments, especially some state governors, love the power, and they're holding on as much as they can. But I think through people speaking up, that even they will have to loosen up and give us our freedom back, because it won't be necessary to control us anymore.
I think so, especially where people are just asking good questions and being somewhat reasonable, you know, whatever that means, just being somewhat reasonable. And going back out, like I said, doing life with more purpose now, doing it with more intention. You know, I was thrilled to see that because, I told you I had a concern. I didn't know which businesses might make it through or not. We have a wonderful little community-based cafe and coffee shop here in our little town of Auburn, California. It's a wonderful place, and they helped a lot of people during these times. And I thought, God, I hope they make it to the other side. Sure enough, they made it to the other side. Yesterday, we were there. We ordered food. We were able to sit out on the patio. And by this weekend, people will be back inside again. And people were simply being respectful of one another. They weren't like coughing and, you know, spitting in people's faces. They were just, there's a little bit of distancing, just a little bit of awareness. But basically, back out in the sun, enjoying each other and enjoying the cafe and their beautiful offerings again. And it was like almost surreal, as though nothing at all had happened. But on another level, it's like everything has changed.
Well, people need to have outlets, I think life will come back to a new normal, but in a good way.
I think so.
It's just a matter of time. Again, these governments, the main problem we have now is not the virus. It's the governments trying to hold on to their power. But I don't see them being successful because the tide's turned. We're on our way to ascension. We were supposed to ascend with President Kennedy back in the 60s. Of course, he was assassinated. But we have to keep our eye on the larger picture. And the larger picture is ascension. And it is still coming. It's still coming, and it will be here before we know it. And we're in the middle of it now. And when I end up at Shasta this July, my guides tell me we're still on track to be in the fifth dimension. So that'll be fun. that'll be a lot of fun.
And you and Carl will have a good time talking about that. And that's that really wonderful unified consciousness, unity consciousness between people and communities and ourselves and even other domains, other dimensions and so forth. It will be a beautiful thing that awaits us. We just have to choose it.
Right. Absolutely. We've got about 45 seconds left. Meredith, I want to give you the rest of the time to wrap up your wonderful interview today.
Well, basically, I've kind of said everything that's on my mind. I think that we've been given this wonderful pregnant pause in life and a break from the rat race, the economy, and the pressures of life to be able to actually decide what matters. And I think as long as we don't forget that, and we remain true to the things that matter and that we've developed in ourselves, I couldn't agree more, Ted. I think we're headed in a really good direction. We just need to know we now need each other, and we need to be compassionate with one another through this process.
That's right. Well, Regina, your website again is reginameredith.com. And thank you again so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ted. It's been really fun. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Sal. Thanks so much. To keep up your good work. And I hope everyone has a beautiful and happy weekend. Thanks so much for listening today. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye. Love you.